Track 20. Unit 5. Listening 1. Part 3. Multiple choice.
My guest today is Adrian Mitchell, whose book, Who We Are and What We Want, on the subject of family relationships, has been at the top of many bestseller lists for the most part of this year. Adrian, I know you've been lecturing in sociology for over 20 years. So was the book an inevitable consequence of that?
Well, without that background, I don't suppose I'd be writing a book on social issues. But many academics have been in the game for a great deal longer than I have, and they don't feel the need to publish their thoughts for public consumption. I suppose, for me, it was more that I was talked into it by colleagues of mine who insisted that there was a market for that kind of subject. None of us, though, I don't think, had anticipated how well it would do.
And I believe that you've also put your experience as a counsellor to good use in the book.
I like to think so, although I have to admit that I quit counselling several years ago. I'd been doing it for years, and it was certainly something I was passionate about, but there were simply too many things going on. I was stretched to the point that I could no longer say I was fully committed to anything, and that wasn't something I could live with. It wasn't really fair on my wife and children either.
In your book, you do take pains, I notice, to avoid presenting yourself as the ideal husband. I mean, you're not pretending to have all the solutions.
No, absolutely not. I think I'm a fairly typical 21st century husband. I want to provide for my family, but I'm grateful that we have my wife's salary. It allows us to do so much more than one income would permit. And like most husbands, I suspect I'm handy about the house, but I don't insist on fixing the car or the computer myself. I leave that to the experts. I think I'm also typical in the way I tend to, shall we say, overlook certain domestic chores that need doing. I will do them, but I do need a bit of pushing from my wife. I would certainly argue against the idea that men have lost sense of who they are. Our roles may have changed over the years, but that doesn't mean we're confused about them.
Yes, but it's a notion that seems popular on daytime television. In the book, you thank your children in the acknowledgements, but after that, there's no further mention of them. Did you make a conscious decision to exclude them?
Well, yes. If I'd written about them, it would have felt like a form of exploitation, I suppose. Even if they'd agreed to appear in the book, they would have done so just to make me happy, because that's what children do, look for approval. Well, we all do, I suppose. And you don't know whether they're going to feel the same way once they're older and in a position to make a more informed decision. I can see why people draw from their own personal experiences when they're writing a research-based book, but this has to be weighed up against the impact your writing may have on others.
A chapter I found particularly interesting was the one on how the media reports on social issues. You refer to the way it portrays single parents, single mothers in particular.
Yes, unfortunately, many journalists are happy to cut and paste their information from other articles doing the rounds on the internet. This doesn't necessarily mean that the bare facts, the numbers, are wrong, but there's a lack of balance. So, in the case of single parents, it may be true that numbers are on the rise, but the stories presented to us fail to discuss how many of these parents are able to continue working or return to further education. They're still contributing to society, but headlines with this kind of positive development don't sell copies, I suppose.
So where do you see marriage as an institution in, say, 20 years' time? Do you think it will come to be seen as simply unnecessary?
Hardly. You only need to look at the number of commercial ventures set up within the wedding industry. People are just as keen to get married as ever, just perhaps not in the way that their grandparents did. It doesn't have to be in a church, the dress doesn't have to be white, and people no longer want towels and whiteware as gifts. One thing that hasn't changed is the fact that a high percentage of couples go into marriage not anticipating the kind of challenges likely to arise as a result of becoming a unit. A lot of married life involves meeting halfway, and if you're not prepared to do that, then you're in for trouble. And don't forget, just because tradition is less important in some Western countries, this isn't the case in others.
Adrian, thank you. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, Adrian is going to...